Good morning. 6:47 a.m. on the 14th of September. Sorry for the noise, I moved the microphone. Yes, it's not raining. At least not at the moment. Slow for a mile. Well, that's because I stopped and talked. There's a guy that I see almost every morning, and usually we're at different points in our workout, and I'm going one way, he's going the other, we wave, we don't stop. Today we stopped. So yeah, happens. So let's see. Yes, I'm safe from the rain. I'm safe from the flooding, at least for the moment. I think for me to be endangered by it, I have to be a little bit lower. There's going to have to be an awful lot of water in the surrounding valleys for it to threaten my house, because the house is actually sitting on a knoll. It's one of the high pieces of ground, and the river bottoms are 200 feet lower. So for the water to get up to my house, they've got to be a couple hundred feet above the river stage. That's not going to happen. At least I don't believe so. Stranger things have happened. I'm not going to discount it with 15 inches of rain. We normally get 12 to 14 a year. And a lot of places in the mountains got that overnight, or over the course of 36, 48 hours. The Big Thompson is pretty much destroyed. There's east of us out on the plains where the Cashlapooter arcs around the north side of Greeley, flows south. There's the tens of thousands of acres that are flooded. And for the most part, they're only like 6 inches deep, but it's tens of thousands of acres flooded 6 inches deep. Now, the upside of this is that anybody who survives will reap the benefit of the new distribution of soil. It's one of the benefits of living in the Mississippi flood zone, or near the Mississippi flood zone, is that when it floods, it brings new soil, it brings fresh dirt, new nutrients. The problem is that it's right at the worst part of the time for the year, because a lot of these fields were ready for harvest. Now the harvest is going to be destroyed. And because it's a flood, unless they happen to have flood insurance, normal insurance won't cover it. Now, living in a desert, buying flood insurance doesn't seem like a wise investment. In the nearly 20 years that we've been here, we've never seen anything like this here. So I don't know if anybody's out there on the plains has actually got the flood insurance or not. But there was wall-to-wall news coverage yesterday afternoon. The weather broke enough that they could put choppers up. So all the news folks put helicopters in the air, Boulder made NBC News last night. Loveland and Longmont are both have substantial flooding. Fort Collins has a little bit. Boulder is pretty much got this huge raging river running through the middle of it. Portions of the main roads are closed, particularly where the oxbows have come close to major throughways, thoroughfares. The bows have expanded considerably, and some of them have undercut major roadways. I know Route 85, which is a major route from here to Denver, has been closed. I don't know if it's been cut, but it has been closed. So, generally speaking, it's a mess. I'm hoping that we're not going to have problems with groceries. Getting trucks up from Denver, I'm pretty sure that, if not up from Denver, at least down from Wyoming. But yeah, it's significant enough that there's a question as to whether or not we're actually cut off from Denver at this point. There was apparently supposed to be a football game this afternoon, a college game. I don't remember now if it was CSU or CU or one of them, both of them. But the games have been canceled, and the public outcry was rather astonishing. It's like, how can you cancel a football game? It's really easy. The state government has declared a state of emergency. There are people still trapped in cabins back in the woods, cut off by rivers. Dragged across a river by zip line. Choppers pulled a bunch of people out yesterday. There were some kids trapped in a educational bivouac. They got cut off when the bridge got washed away, and they hiked down the backside of the mountain to a road that's on the other side that wasn't threatened by the rain. 30, 40 kids up in the mountains. It's like, holy cow. That must have been tense for a while. But they had an evacuation plan all set up for, okay, what happens if? And they just followed it and it worked. So, yeah, there's a lot of, it's really moist. There's a lot of water in the air. There's a lot of worry going around the town, but for the most part, except for some particularly low-lying areas right close to the river, and here in Greeley, not too many people live close to the river. There are, of course, roads that cross the river, and some of those are not passable at the moment, but not too many people live close to the river. So, we'll take that as a small blessing. There are a lot of people who are still missing. We're not sure, did they get swept away in their vehicles? Were they sleeping in their beds when their house got pulled down? Or There's portions of the state without cell phone service now because the towers are without power. Internet's down in some places because the substations are sunk. Monkpole. And it goes back to the lessons from Katrina, where we really haven't looked to how to harden our infrastructure. There's actually a project, an open source project, to create freestanding mesh cell towers that were run on solar power. So there was a mast that was loaded with batteries that had a solar photovoltaic collector charger unit on it, and a basic line of sight wireless relay running on a chip in it. And so once it's established, it starts looking around for the nearest friendly link, and when it finds it, it starts forming the mesh. You put those out on the plains, you could put them every 10 miles. This is line of sight, and there's not a whole lot out there. Up in the mountains, you put them on the ridges, the tops of the ridges, so that they can see down into the insides of the valleys and then ridgetop to ridgetop. I always thought that would be, and they're freestanding. You don't need to run a wire to them. You don't need to power them. They work on their own. And if you put enough of them up there, then even if one doesn't have quite enough juice, perhaps the next one along may not have a stronger connection, but it might actually have enough juice to support the traffic. But a router doesn't really take too much power. And the radio is what uses most of the energy. The router itself, the software, is, you could probably power it for a month on a cell phone battery. Which means if you get a day of sunlight and you've got a couple of batteries, then you could probably power it for a good long time. And it's only when the clouds come in or you don't get an opportunity to recharge the batteries during the day that they become problematic. But they're self-sufficient and freestanding, and the model, I think, called for it to be anchored on a floating buoy. So that when the water rises, it just lifts up with the water level. Doesn't move because it's anchored. It has so much more to recommend it over, say, one of the things that I've seen is a dirigible, lighter than air drone. That doesn't need power to stay aloft. So it flies up and only uses electrical power to run its network and to stay on station. The problem is that on high wind, it's very difficult to do. And so during high wind conditions, you'd have to pull them down, which would kind of negate the power of the network. And it'd be rather expensive. I think the base price of one of these standalone photovoltaic mesh masts was like $200 or $250 bucks a piece. That's a lot of money for an individual to try to blanket a city, but for a city, that's really quite reasonable. Even a city spread out as much as Greeley is. Actually, even probably it's all be a lot cheaper than running cable. One of those leapfrog technologies where if you're going into an area that doesn't have infrastructure already, then creating infrastructure using a tool like this would be at least an order of magnitude cheaper and in the long run more reliable because it's not dependent on outside resources to maintain it. You know, a tower goes out, you go out and replace the tower. How to keep them from being vandalized, I suppose, is another question. I don't know. Surprisingly little water in the runoff here. Of course, yesterday we didn't get a lot of rain in the afternoon. We didn't get any rain in the afternoon. It was actually sunny. It was sunny and cool for a while, and of course the sun started heating things up, and it got to be sunny and hot again before very much longer. Sun is up there somewhere. Oh, there's actually blue sky up above here. It's a little hole in the clouds right above my head. It's funny. Excuse the gray and foggy and nasty everywhere around, except right over my head. It's about a 45 degree arc of clear sky up there, which makes you think it's really clear up there after all, and what I'm seeing is ground fog when I look left or right or forward or backward. I'm not actually seeing cloudiness as much as there's so much moisture in the air that I just can't see very far. So I was reading, I got a free Andre Norton, The Sargasso of the Stars, or something like that. It was an old Andre Norton novel. Yeah, novella, really, I think. It was rather short, but I guess all of the stuff from that era was really short. And it's probably YA. But boy, it did not stand up well at all. You look at the writing in it, and you look at the use of language, you look at the story construction, you look at how that story got put together. Yikes. Ooh, that's slow. Man, I'm just moseying along, 18 and a half minutes on the back half. I'm tired. The truth is, I'm tired. It's been 40-something days since I've missed a day, and it was all I could do to force myself to come out today. I had to even wait until it got to be light because I just couldn't face coming out in the dark again. So tomorrow, that will be another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.